You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Well, this afternoon's conversation really makes me think of the Joburg tours. You know, like in the city of Joburg, you can sign up with the city and you can curate a tour that they will help you publicize. So you can take people on a spice route in maybe downtown Joburg or wherever you think could be a source of interest. When I think about Regina Mundi, I think this could make for such a fascinating township tour. And so our conversation has Regina Mundi as the backdrop as we look at a painting that hangs at this historic church. So Regina Mundi is located almost on the borders of Rockville and Moroka, in Soweto. And the name is actually Latin, and it means queen of the world. As someone who comes from Soweto, there are just so many stories about what this church means to the community and the role that it played in the liberation, in the struggle for liberation all those years ago. I mean, I was born after 1976, and I'm often regaled about things that happened in that period. So in 76, we had the uprising. I was born the following year. That's how I got the name Azania to begin with. And we've heard stories of how the church would take young people in when the police were coming after them. You know, they would take them in, often ready with buckets of water because tear gas has been fired by the apartheid police at protesters. And so they were always ready, you know, with buckets of tear water just to ease that burn in the eyes. And of course, a lot of funerals started there. The services would happen from there, and the processions would go to Avalon Cemetery. And so there's a lot of politics that was mixed with the center, which is a spiritual home for so many people in Soweto. Whether you're Catholic or not, I think if you live in Soweto and you were part of that struggle history, this church, Regina Mundi, certainly has a very sacred place in your heart. I think it was the late Dr. Motlana who said that it's not just a church, it's the people's church. But it's not about Regina Mundi this afternoon. That's not the conversation per se, but it's about an art piece that hangs within the church. Just to the right, just at the top, what is it called, Jonathan? It's English. My data bundles running out. Altar. And I used to go to a Catholic church. Just to the right of the altar, you will find the Black Madonna, this incredible painting, famously known as the Black Madonna, but the actual official title is the Madonna and Child of Soweto. So this is what we're talking about this afternoon. This particular painting, its story, and how there is now an auction of a piece related to it. And so joining us is Dr. Alistair Meredith, Senior Art Specialist at Strauss & Co. Good afternoon, Alistair. Welcome back to the show. Alistair? Maybe let's try that again. Yes, Alistair, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much.
So you are busy with a very interesting auction at the moment. But before we get to the auction, I thought we could visit a little bit of the history of Regina Mundi, because within it is a whole lot of pieces that are on the walls, pieces that speak to the Catholic faith, the stained glass windows that I believe are from Poland, for instance, that, yes, that make up part of this incredible church with its high ceilings. So what can you tell us just from that part of the history, from that art perspective of Regina Mundi?
Yes, well, I mean, it's an incredibly special place. I hadn't visited until very recently, but it is the biggest Catholic church in the country. It was designed by a man called Anthony Slavin in 1962, and it was opened in 1963. And as you alluded to a little bit earlier, it is absolutely intertwined with the history, not only of the country, but of Soweto specifically. It has this fabulous painting by Larry Scully that was purchased by Harry Oppenheimer in 1973.
Wait, Alistair, we seem to be losing you, and also just your proximity to the mic. Could we get you closer?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, is that any better?
That is much better. That's much better. So you were telling us about how the painting first came to be made. Why did Larry Scully make this painting?
Yes, so it was commissioned by the Star newspaper in 1973. Mm. The idea was to publish the image on the front cover of their Christmas edition. They also wanted to sell the painting in order to raise funds for a Black Education Trust. It was purchased by Harry Oppenheimer in 1973, and it was promptly donated to the church in that year, and it's been hanging there ever since.
Who is Larry Scully?
So Larry Scully was an enormously important, if underappreciated, mid-century artist. Mm. He was primarily an abstract painter. He was born in Gibraltar, but came to South Africa with his family just before the Second World War. He was part of the famous Wits group just after the war in the sort of late 40s and 1950s. He was also a very important teacher. He taught alongside Walter Battis at Pretoria Boys High. And later on, he finished his academic career at the University of Stellenbosch.
Right. And obviously an artist all the while. And he made this painting. Give us a sense of the composition and the scale of the Black Madonna.
Yes, well, it's a vast painting. It's a mural scaled painting, as we might call it. Mm. I think it measures about 8 foot high and about 5 foot across. So it is enormous. And it shows, as you would expect, the Madonna and Child in the center with this wonderful sort of halo decorative element around them. Also, and most significantly, Larry Scully, who was a white artist, decided to paint both the Madonna and the Child as Black figures. And I suppose that is one of the many reasons why this is such a landmark painting.
Yes, and let's look at that that aspect for a moment. Do we know what his commentary was, what he was saying by painting a Black Madonna and a Black Jesus, when we know that as part of sort of Catholic art, this category of Catholic art, which uses themes and imagery from Christianity and also intertwined with the colonial past of this country, that religious figures were never portrayed, not even Middle Eastern or African, they were portrayed as white.
Yes, I mean, you're absolutely right. And that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. It's incredibly rare to have Jesus or any divine figure portrayed as Black. Quite why he did it, I wouldn't be able to answer. Mm. What I can say is that he was enormously moved and affected by the social injustices he was witnessing in the 1960s and 1970s. And I think that very much led to his decision to paint the Madonna and Child as Black figures.
Yes. I remember a couple of years ago, I still have the piece, in fact, hanging at my house, the Pietà, an interpretation of the Pietà, which I think was done by Michelangelo those years ago. But this time it was Kuzanai Chiurai, the Zimbabwean artist, who was creating his own interpretation. And he was asking certain questions through his piece. And so I was the figure that is draped over the lap of the Mary figure. So this was a woman to woman mourning, for instance. So I was the figure that had been injured and draped in those final moments of life, with the other figure being another woman mourning this particular moment. So there is a whole world of art that pays homage, that tells these stories of the story of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be completely honest with you. South Africa doesn't have a very strong tradition mm-hmm. of religious painting. I think if you were to draw up a history of 20th century religious painting in South Africa, I would argue that Larry Scully's Black Madonna would stand out as the iconic work.
Wow.
But you're absolutely right. It follows a very, very long tradition, which is relatively underappreciated here in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. So you say that Mr. Oppenheimer then donated it to Regina Mundi. Do we know what it's worth?
Well, I mean, it's very difficult to put a value on the original work. I mean, hopefully it will never, ever, ever be sold. Of course, it needs to stay in the church forever. I can tell you what the second version of the painting might be estimated at. That's the work coming up for auction tomorrow. Mm. And that is a smaller example. And the estimates on that are about 70 to 100,000 rand. As far as Larry Scully's market goes generally, it's picked up quite dramatically over the last maybe 3 or 4 years.
I see.
But the highest prices are in the hundreds of thousands of rands.
Oh, so that's how much his works go for. So how did you come to the second piece, and describe that one too? Because you told us about the vastness of the Black Madonna. So how different is it to this one?
So this second version, which has now come to light, is considerably smaller. And it was painted in 1976, which is hugely important because it was painted in direct response to the student riots, the student uprisings in the June of 1976. Mm. And the second version is a little bit darker, a little bit more morose in some cases, but it is incredibly evocative. Mm-hmm. What the artist has done in the second version is he has taken a print of the original Black Madonna, and there were many, many prints made and sold, and he has essentially stuck it onto a larger canvas, worked into the print, worked around it. He's painted a beautiful turquoise and mustard halo. He's also painted this fabulous slashing abstract element on the bottom section of the painting. But what he has done, which is quite disturbing, but at the same time very moving, is he has blackened out the features mm-hmm. of the Madonna and the child, sort of almost giving a sense of a black identity being erased. And that, of course, was in direct response to this horrific violence that he had witnessed, along with all South Africans, in the middle of June 1976.
Mm. And then there's that the eye, that squashed eye underneath the Black Madonna and Jesus. What does that depict?
Yes, well, I mean, that's a very symbolic inclusion. If you look very carefully in that eye, there's an enormous amount of detail. You'll see lots of little triangles that represent the homes and houses around the church. You'll also see the Orlando Stadium, that's painted in there. Also some symbols of violence, you know, these sort of dangerous looking forks that come in from left and right, as well as a machete outline in the bottom, which represents the violence going on. But right in the center of that eye, this all-seeing eye, in the pupil essentially, is a brightly painted flashing white cross or crucifixion, you know, signifying, I suppose, some element of hope for the future, but also, I think, positioning the Regina Mundi Church as the epicenter of that hope, particularly in Soweto.
Mm-hmm. So for the last 2 days or so, and ending tomorrow, you've been busy with this auction, which is open to, because it's virtual, it's open to anyone throughout the world. How does that work?
Yeah, so the auction is I suppose predominantly taking place in our sale rooms in Cape Town, but it does take place over 3 days. Mm. We started yesterday with a wine auction focusing on South African fine wines, and then again this morning we started at 10 o'clock with decorative arts, jewelry, ceramics, and then we go tomorrow into two sessions dedicated to paintings and sculpture. And the Larry Scully second version of the Madonna and Child will be auctioned tomorrow. As you say, it is virtual, so you can follow everything on our website. It's streamed live right now. You can go and follow the sales and, of course, bid should you feel inclined.
Yes. But as you say, Larry Scully's work goes in the hundreds of thousands, so That's not money that's just casually lying around for many. So let's see. We'll see tomorrow after the auction of that piece where it has ended up. But how did it come into the marketplace and the phase where even T-shirts were being printed? Was that soon after it was created in the late 70s?
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting question to try and trace, you know, how this icon developed since 1973. The truth is, I don't really know exactly when they started making reproductions and prints and T-shirts. I would imagine probably over the last generation or so, they would have started appearing. Of course, the actual print of the work was made very shortly after the original. So that would have been done in about 1974 or 1975. That would have been, I think, the beginning of the development of the of this particular motif.
Right. And then this piece, was it someone who put it back into the market?
Yes. Yeah, so this second version, as I mentioned earlier, was painted in 1976.
Yeah.
It was given to the current owner's family by the artist, and it's been in that family ever since. It's been living in Cape Town for the last a few decades, and for whatever reason, the current owner has decided to put it on auction. So perhaps sad for them, but very exciting for the market.
Mm. You said he's an abstract artist. Did he make anything in this vein beyond that? Because I see he passed on in 2002. So did this inform yes. the work that he did after that?
I would say not really. He tended to remain as an abstract painter. There were a few figural works that he did over time, but generally he was always more interested, I suppose, in abstract representation.
Right. Well, we'll keep a keen eye on what happens to this piece. The one that hangs at Juna Mundi is absolutely beautiful. I mean, just the blue in the background and the tone that he's selected for the Madonna and the baby, just absolutely striking. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Alistair.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's Dr. Alistair Meredith, the senior art specialist at Strauss & Co., as we look at connections to this enormous painting that hangs in Soweto. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you're a congregant at Regina Mundi. Tell us if you've seen it and if what it kind of strikes. And even just the interior of that church, that A-line roof, which is so striking, and the home that it's been, of course, not just spiritually for the community, but also as a place of refuge, particularly during the time of the still against apartheid. So your reflections on that as a piece connected to the one that hangs at the Regina Mundi goes on auction tomorrow.